Chapter 1. The Dream That Started It All. Operation Strong Eagle 3 into Kunar Province, Afghanistan was Brian's third deployment, and while he was deployed into Afghanistan, I had a dream about him. In the dream, Brian and I are walking side by side on a rocky, dusty dirt road. Brian was dressed in full combat uniform, and he was talking to me, but I couldn't hear what he was saying to me. He had no voice. So he smiled at me, took me by the elbow, and he guided me around a corner into an outdoor movie theater. We took our seats, and there on the movie screen appeared Brian in his Army combat uniform. And the camera pulled back, and I could see he was standing beside a glass coffin. He stepped into the coffin, he laid down, and as soon as his helmet touched the white satin pillow, he turned into my little boy, Brian. Little boy Brian sat up, stepped out of the coffin, and became Brian the soldier again. Brian gave me a sharp salute, that crooked half-smile I was so familiar with, and then the screen went blindingly white. I turned to look at Brian in the seat beside me, but he was gone, and it was at that point that I woke up to the phone ringing. It was my daughter-in-law, Tiffany, telling me that Brian had been killed in action in Afghanistan early that morning. It was 7 a.m. on March 29th, 2011, and our entire world had just been shattered. And I remember telling Tiffany, I just saw him. I just dreamed about him. I just saw him. And through her sobbing gasp for air, Tiffany told us that an Army colonel and chaplain were at her house right then, and that we could expect a similar visit at any time that morning. If there had been any possible way to physically reach through the phone line to embrace Tiffany in a hug, I would have done it right then. And Tiffany told us later that when she received her notification, Micaiah, her daughter, ran into the front room to see why her mother had screamed. Tiffany doesn't remember screaming. After Tiffany hung up, Beth called her sister, Fran, and Beth and I walked down to her sister's house. Fran lived only three houses down from us, and she was already bawling when she opened the door. And I think Beth and I spent an hour or so there while they called family members. I was already in the daze that would consume me for the next several weeks. For some reason, while Beth and Fran were calling our families, I left Fran's house and I walked back home. I arrived at the same time as the U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Eberhardt and Reverend Mark Moore from the Grace Lutheran Church just down the street arrived at our house. I invited them in, offered them something to drink, doing anything to delay the inevitable. Lieutenant Colonel Eberhardt looked me in the eyes and said, "The United States Army regrets to inform you." I thought I was ready to hear that. I immediately started weeping, not just crying, but full-on weeping. And I had cried at the deaths of grandparents, aunts, uncles, even pets. But I had never, ever wept like this. Reverend Moore held me in a comforting hug as the Lieutenant Colonel finished his speech. I don't even remember what else the Lieutenant Colonel or the chaplain said to me. It was maybe an hour or so later that Beth returned home. She told me family was on the way. And the phone rang, startling both of us. Neither of us really wanted to ever again touch that wretched device. Beth answered, told me it was Sergeant First Class Newton Rose from Fort Hood who had been assigned to us as our Casualty Assistance Officer, our CAO, and I talked to him briefly, and he told me he would be at our house later that day. In the meantime, family members began to arrive at our home. Now, our house is not small, but we don't have a large one either, and family soon filled our home with soft chatter, tearful hugs, and from somewhere, the aroma of pizza. Beth's cousin, Dan, had bought pizza for everyone, and I remember seeing Beth's sisters, her nieces and nephews, cousins, my younger brother, Lynn, and his wife, Renee, just milling around the house, talking softly to each other, but no one speaking directly to me. Dan offered me a piece of pizza, but there was just no way on earth I could chew and swallow anything. I took Dan aside and told him about my dream of Brian that morning, asking him what he thought it might mean. He hugged me tightly and he said, "In time, you will know." And several months passed before I did know.